Hey, fellow horror fans. This is Troy Escamilla, the director of Party Night and Mrs. Claus, and you are listening to Anthony T's Horror Show. Enjoy.
Welcome to another edition of Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. In this edition, I will be talking about the new Child's Play teaser trailer. I've been holding this off for a couple of weeks due to Women in Horror Month, so we are finally going to get my thoughts on it. And, well, spoiler alert, it's going to be pretty much what I've already said about this film. And now I have a teaser trailer to now rip this film apart even more. I'll go into that. I will have an open discussion with Philip Perrone of Doc Discussions podcast, as we're going to talk about the first wave guest announcements for ScareCon New England, since recently there was some major news about this upcoming convention. It was worth an open discussion. And I'll also be recommending a film from legendary Italian horror director Rogerio Deodato. And I'll give you a hint, it's not a film that you would expect. Let's just leave it at that. But I just have some notable names that you will recognize. So there's a hint to what I'm recommending this episode. But first, the news. First off, in news that came out of nowhere, Shudder recently dropped the official trailer for the new series, Critters, A New Binge. This was surprising, because I've heard nothing about it, and one day they just dropped the trailer for it, as it's going to be coming to Shudder very soon, like March 21st. The series will feature appearances from Gilbert Gottfried and Thomas Lennon. It's being written and executive produced by Jordan Rubin, John Kaplan, and Al Kaplan. You know, the team behind Zombievers, which is definitely a good film. Check that film out. It's crazy. My thoughts on the trailer? I can't wait for it, actually. This looks really over the top, but I'm a fan of the Critters series, so I'm definitely in for this series. Plus the fact it's being done by the team that did Zombievers a couple years ago, and that was a crazy film, so expect Critters, A New Binge to probably be as crazy as Zombievers. Next up, Ari Aster is back with a new film so quickly. Last year, he made waves with his film Hereditary. Now he's coming back with a new film that looks like it's even creepier than Hereditary. As A24 recently released the teaser trailer for Aster's new film Midsommar. And this film, I can tell you from the first teaser trailer, it is creepy as fuck. I would expect this film to be a major player in 2019 because this has a very creepy vibe to it, and it's only the teaser trailer. I can't wait for the full trailer to come out, but this film is scheduled to be released in theaters this summer. This may be definitely one of those films to keep an eye out for in the remainder of 2019, as we're starting to get into the season of the big horror releases, as we've got Us coming out in a couple weeks. To kick things off, And more than likely, you can expect a review of us on this podcast. But definitely, Midsommar really looks good from its first teaser trailer. Can't wait to see the full trailer to make a final judgment on this. But if it's already creepy with the teaser trailer, I don't know how creepier it can even get when the official trailer comes out. That is something to keep an eye out for. It feels like that this news cycle between episodes has been kind of like one surprise announcement after another. And how about this one? The sequel to the cult classic I Spit on Your Grave, Deja Vu, will be hitting DVD and Blu-ray soon. How soon? April 23rd. That is the date. This is a film that's been talked about for like the last couple of years. It must have fell into some production problems, as most of these independent horror films do. But we're finally getting a chance to see this film. And from the looks of the first trailer, this film has already grabbed my interest with the killer trailer that was recently put out. Now, the film stars Camilla Keaton returning to her role as Jennifer Hills. She is joined by Jamie Bernadette, who is recently in the films 420 Massacre and The Sixth Friend, and Maria Olson, who I recently interviewed about two episodes ago in episode 14 of the show, which you can check out here on DocDiscussions.com and also on Anthony T's Horror Show's YouTube channel. But I'm very excited for this film because this trailer looks killer. I can't wait to see this film on April 23rd. And I really hope this film gets a good audience on DVD and Blu-ray, as the first I Spit on Your Grave film is a cult classic and one of the most shocking films you'll ever see. So I'm so excited finally that I Spit on Your Grave Deja Vu is coming to DVD and Blu-ray on April 23rd. Now on to convention news. CT Horror Fest recently announced two guests for the upcoming convention at the Naugatuck Event Center on September 14th. The first guest that they've announced is Ring of Honor star Vinny Massaglia. He's a professional wrestler who also goes by the moniker The Horror King. And he's going to be in an upcoming independent horror film called The Find. And their other announcement is one of the headliners for the upcoming CT Horror Fest. They will be bringing in Matthew Lillard from Scream, Twin Peaks, The Return, and others, Scooby-Doo as well. Figured I'd throw that in there. So far, the lineup, it's alright. I don't mind it right now, because most of the guests that have already been announced, I've already met. But I'm interested in seeing where they're going with this convention. A theme would develop soon, as it's very important for a convention to have a central theme. I'll even go into this more in my open discussion, because, well, ScareCon already announced pretty much their theme for their convention up in Framingham, Massachusetts, which I'll go into in the open discussion in a little bit. And finally, Rock and Shock recently announced their dates for their 15th annual convention, as Rock and Shock will be turning 15 this year. The convention will be happening from October 11th through the 13th in Worcester, Massachusetts at the Palladium in DCU Center. Nothing has been announced yet, but they are promising that they are going big this year, so keep an eye out for announcements. With that, it wraps up the news. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Philip Perrone and Michael Dowin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. Now, for the last couple of months, the show has been hijacked by the new Child's Play reboot. You've known my feelings on it. When the first teaser trailer came out, I really wanted to rant about it right away, but I really wanted to also focus on Women in Horror Month, so I kind of saved this rant to March. Now, since I have time to do it, guess what? I will be talking about this teaser trailer, or, lack of a better words, awful teaser trailer. Because it really, I think, gives too much away. And personally, I think it's confirming my biggest fear that we're going to have multiple Chuckies in the new Child's Play reboot, since they're all stupid robots. But let me first put up the disclaimer, then I'll get to my full thoughts on the Child's Play teaser trailer. Warning! The following commentary doesn't represent the views of Doc Discussions or the Doc Discussions Network. In other words, there are my views only. Since Women in Horror Month is now over, yours truly can finally talk about the elephant in the room that I've been waiting to talk about for the last 3-4 weeks. As the new Child's Play trailer has outraged me on all levels. It's like, it's everything I pretty much expected. And that's not a good thing. Literally, it is not a good thing. A while back, I believe episode 4, I did a long rant saying that the new Child's Play remake is doomed to fail, and give you reasons why it's doomed to fail. Since that rant, a couple of things have happened that adds to the list of why the Child's Play remake is doomed to fail. The first new reason is the film's release date. Now, the film's release date is June 21st, and it happens to also be the same day that Toy Story 4 comes out from Disney. The release date pretty much feels like a gimmick, because the both of the film's central theme is toys. It's like, what the fuck? Seriously? This is not how you try to separate yourself. All you're doing is getting your viewers to buy tickets to Toy Story 4, then sneak into Child's Play. It's like, what the hell? It's not gonna help make any money. Plus, to me, it feels like it's a gimmick release date. It's like, oh, look, new Toy Story movie coming out the same day. You know what? Why don't we put the Child's Play remake against it? It's like, it feels like a gimmick. I'm sorry. And it tells me that this studio has no faith in this film, that they're willing to gamble on kind of a gimmick and put it out the same day as Toy Story 4. I just don't get it. I really don't get it. it shows me that maybe this film is really bad. As they kind of really rushed this film from what I heard. So it doesn't give me the confidence that this film is any good. I know I'm not trying to be judgmental on the film because I haven't seen the film yet. But this just screams bad movie. It's like where you dump bad movies when you have a juggernaut film debuting the same weekend. Now, another reason why the Child's Play remake is doomed to fail is the fact that Warner Brothers recently announced that their third Annabelle film recently moved up its release date. It was originally going to be release July 3rd, but now Warner Brothers moved that film to June 28th. That's 1 week after Child's Play is scheduled to be released. Something tells me Warner Brothers saw the teaser trailer, which I'm going to get to in a minute, and figured it could crush the Child's Play reboot. So, I've never seen a film that is so obviously looks like it's going to be a complete bomb at the box office. Now, let's get to the teaser trailer. And that's another reason why it's doomed to fail. Because the teaser trailer for the new Child's Play remake is flat out horrible. Literally. You only have 1 minute and 14 seconds of a teaser trailer. Usually teaser trailers are like maybe 2 minutes. Usually around that area. But you barely got a minute on this trailer. This tells me that the studio, Orion Pictures, probably is figuring that this film is going to bomb at the box office. Because there was no effort to even try to make this film exciting or appealing to watch. I don't do trailer reactions, but this trailer gives a lot away without even giving the look of Chucky away. And it really gives me a really burning question about this new remake. Is Chucky going to even talk? We didn't even hear a single piece of dialogue from Chucky. Are these just going to be mindless robots? Because from the trailer, it looks like we're going to get mindless robots that don't talk. And that takes the heart of the Child's Play franchise and throws it away in the can. Because what makes the Child's Play franchise work, the original one, of course, that I'm talking about now, is the fact that the way the dialogue is written for Chucky. It is so sinister and so dark with a dash of dark humor to it, which really makes the character one of the icons of horror. And this trailer, you don't hear him talk. You just see some random scene, including a scene from the final climax of the film, which usually, it just bugs me when I see those scenes. Oh, at some point in the movie now, I know Andy's mother is going to be in some danger. And I don't want to know that in a trailer. It's like, what the hell? And it also brings my biggest fear about this film. The fact that we may get multiple Chuckies at once. Since we're dealing with robots here, apparently. Because it's very obvious from the trailer that Chucky is going to be a robot. He's not going to be a doll. I am not going to consider this Chucky a doll. Because it is not a doll. It is a fucking robot. It's like the filmmakers in the studio are taking everything from the original Child's Play film and just chucking it in the can. And that really pisses me off. What makes a remake work so well is that it honors the original film. That's why the Rob Zombie remakes were good. That's why the recent Halloween reboot was good. They both honored the remake. The original, I mean. The same can be said with Evil Dead. That remake was awesome. Because it honored the original film. This new Child's Play film, right now from the looks of it, does not honor the original film. This is a fucking attempt at a cash grab. It really pisses me off that one of the greatest franchises in horror is being treated like a cash grab and a rights grab. I don't know. I'm just getting so fucking sick about talking about the reboot of Child's Play. There is no fucking reason to reboot this franchise. It's still going. And it may actually have a TV series. Albeit on sci-fi, but at least it's going to be on TV. Why ruin a good thing, Orion Pictures? Just give the rights away back to the original rights owners. Because Damiancini can do a better Child's Play film than what is coming out. That's all I fucking got. I'm sorry. I hope this is the last fucking time I talk about this film on my show. But I have a feeling that yours truly will be talking about this again once the official trailer comes out. And I will continue to bitch about it. Because this film should not have been remade in the first place. That's all I got. It's just fucking ridiculous that they're gonna ruin what the original Child's Play franchise brought to many fans. And it's just sad.
Hey guys, this is Steven Christina. I'm the founder, owner, creator, and host of Super Retro Throwback Reviews. Are you looking for the best movie reviews, music reviews, video game reviews, and Comic-Con coverage all around? Well then, look no further. Definitely check out Super Retro Throwback Reviews on YouTube and our new audio podcast, the new and improved Super Retro Throwback Reviews Audio Files version 2.0 on the following media distributors: Podbean, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, and Spotify.
Class is over, John. Time for something new and improved.
Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm here with Philip Perrone from Doc Discussions Podcast. As we are going to talk about the first wave of announcements for ScareCon New England. Normally this would be something in the news segment of the show, but there's been some major news already dropped about this upcoming convention. So I figured I'd get with Philip and we could talk about it. How are you doing today, Philip?
Doing well, Anthony. Thanks for having me as a guest today.
So this is going to be the fourth year, I believe, that ScareCon New England is happening, right?
Yes. The first 2 years they had it in Springfield, Massachusetts, at the Springfield Convention Center out there. And then last year they actually had it on Route 9 West and at the Sheraton Hotel and Conference Center in Framingham, Massachusetts. And this will be the second year there. So a total of 4 years, absolutely.
Now, I highly recommend you come to this convention in Framingham because last year it was such a fun time. They had the elevator decorated. The staff was nice. So if you're looking to make a weekend out of it, definitely come down to Framingham on June 7th through the 9th, the Sheraton Framingham Hotel and Conference Center.
That's right. Yeah, that's it's a big, pretty big hotel. It looks like a Swiss castle or a Swiss chalet type thing. Parking is pretty good. It's free parking. It's about 20 miles outside of Boston and about maybe 40 miles outside of both Providence, Rhode Island, and Manchester, New Hampshire. And then it's also about 20 miles from Worcester, Massachusetts. So it's a pretty good location. They're well known to have do multiple genre conventions besides this one. So they have like everything down pat.
Yes, they do. And I was especially surprised last year when I went there. Because before I went to ScareCon New England, I was over in that disaster in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, where it was the worst convention I've ever been to.
Yeah, I read your blog all about it, and after seeing how unfortunate your experience was, I did some research and searched a couple other blogs and. A lot of people said the same thing as you.
Okay, enough with that convention, because we don't want to drag the show, because I could probably talk an hour on that experience alone. But what makes this year's ScareCon great is it's back to 3 days, because last year was 2 days. It's going to start on June 7th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m., then on Saturday, June 8th, at 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and it'll wrap up June 9th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. I like the fact that it's going back to 3 days, unlike last year.
Yeah, I agree. I was kind of surprised it had only had 2 days last year rather than the prior 2 years. Not sure why. Oh, actually, I do remember why. What had happened was is when they booked the hotel for that weekend, there was an event already booked for Friday, and so they couldn't get Friday, and that's the reason why. But now that they're using this convention hall and hotel yearly going forward, they're getting, I guess, top priority to obviously get the 3 days going forward.
That's definitely a good thing.
Indeed.
Let's start with the lineup for ScareCon New England. Right now, the headliner is Cassandra Peterson, as many people know as Elvira. She's actually coming back for her second year in a row, which for me was a surprise, but I'm kind of happy because last year, she was, when I was in line for her to get her autograph, she was busy. And you kind of need guests that are busy to get people in the door, so I'm happy she's back. What are your thoughts?
Well, my opinion is that she must have had a pretty good experience last year with the convention, and based off of what I heard and saw, I would concur with that. And so, if her being a icon in horror, at least for folks our age. It doesn't surprise me that they wanted her back. Never mind, she was most certainly willing to come back. So I'm happy about that. She's someone that is really good to the fans, and people enjoy meeting her.
Yeah, I had a good time meeting her too. The next guest on the list is Heather Langenkamp. I was so happy when she was announced because I've always kind of wanted to meet her, but she has never been in the area for quite a while. So I was very happy that ScareCon picked her up for this year's convention, as I really love her in A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare, which I really think is a very underrated film.
I'm sorry, go on.
Nope, you go right ahead.
Okay, I know. I was just going to interject and say, she's one of the classic scream queens or final girls from horror, in the past 40 years, 50 years. And when people think of, the top scream queens or final girls, her name is always brought up. And Nightmare of Elm Street, as well as the other two that you mentioned, is an iconic franchise, one of the best movies, horror movies of all time. The first one for sure, that it is really a treat for fans to be able to meet her, especially in this area. As you said, she hasn't been to the New England area all that much.
I'm hoping this is a sign that they're going to bring in more Nightmare on Elm Street guests, because the film's celebrating an anniversary this year.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a curiosity. I'm not sure how or what makes a person come, and what a convention, how they choose to invite who to come, to be honest. So it could be something that they're at the convention, the folks are willing to listen to your feedback, and if people are that interested, I'm sure they would most certainly listen to folks asking for something like that, especially like you said, with the anniversary of the film.
Now, the next guest, she's been at a couple of ScareCon New England's. I'm talking about Felissa Rose. She's been in films such as Sleepaway Camp and Death House.
Yeah, she's really big with ScareCon, because she is friendly with some of the folk that run the convention, and she is definitely one of those folks that loves coming to these conventions. The one year she didn't come to ScareCon, she was filming a movie or something, so it's always good to see her back, especially if folks missed her one of the prior years.
Yeah, she is a very nice person. I met her at the first ScareCon. Very nice. She wanted to hug me. It was like, it had one of these kind of, it was kind of a little awkward, but I like it when people who come to these conventions that want to be there. Because I've met guests that just don't want to be there. Felissa Rose definitely wants to be at every convention she goes to.
Yeah. And to be honest, You're a lucky guy, because she's a pretty good-looking woman, so definitely take the hug.
Enough talking about it, because I'll start giggling and everything, so...
Fair enough.
Because I want to get to the main reason why we're having this open discussion, and this happened on about 1 week ago as we were recording this. It was a major snowstorm. The next morning when I woke up, the first thing I saw on my Facebook feed was Phantasm 40th Anniversary Reunion. That literally dropped my jaw, because I really didn't think something big was going to be announced this early, but this is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very big deal. Obviously, Angus Grimm is not with us anymore. He passed away a handful of years ago. But all the other stars, as well as people behind the camera, are still all around and about. And to be able to bring in the director, as well as some of the cast for this reunion or Phantasm, you know, group of actors and behind the screen folk. Yeah, it is huge news. I would agree, because now what people can do is get photo ops with the whole crew, or they can get autographs of posters of the movie with all the people signing. So they have a lot of great opportunities here to meet and get memorabilia of some of their favorite films, specifically the first one, which is most certainly a classic.
Yeah, this is screaming like it's going to be ScareCon New England's biggest year yet. Seriously, with all these announcements. You got Reggie Bannister, who played Reggie, an iconic hero in horror. You got A. Michael Baldwin. You got Bill Thornberry. You got Cat Lester. And you got the man behind it all coming, Don Coscarelli, if I pronounced it right.
Yeah, I think it's Casarelli.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those ethnic Italian names that are kind of hard to say sometimes.
Trust me, I always have trouble with these Italian names, so.
Sure, but oh yeah.
Still, That was the one thing that I was so excited about with this announcement. Because I don't think I've seen a director at a convention yet. I know a couple of years ago at Rock and Shock, Mark Lester was supposed to be there but canceled. So this will be pretty much the first time I see a director at a convention that I can get access to.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, there's been some smaller directors and so forth. I do know, like, Rock and Shock had George A. Romero, I believe, 1 year. And then I think that Cherry Hill convention you went to had John Carpenter. But generally, most of the directors, especially ones that have made an iconic film, usually don't go to conventions all that much. So this is a big coup for Scarecon.
Yeah, this is definitely. Because not only do I like the Phantasm films, I like Bubba Hotep. In another film that's so very underrated, John Dies at the End. So this is definitely a great get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And both of those films not only had big casts, they also were well-received. And specifically, Bubba Hotep is somewhat of a cult classic as well. And the other one is based off of a best-selling novel.
So, what are your thoughts on Phantasm?
Oddly, I must admit, I've never seen any of the sequels, but I have the double dipped, because I have a DVD and then I bought the Blu-ray of the original. And
the 4K original? J.J. Abrams transfer?
I don't know. I don't have the latest Blu-ray, because I know there's a later Blu-ray, so that may be the 4K, but I got the Blu-ray that came out like 3 years ago, that one looks really good. I've always felt the movie is very Lovecraftian, with an outer world. The monsters are more like outer dimensional rather than demons or ghosts or anything like that. So I really always felt it was very unique, because even though a lot of folks say Reanimator and those were the first true successful Lovecraft films, I feel Phantasm is definitely in that category as well.
Yes, I would definitely agree with you on that. The film also has kind of a David Lynch feel to it as well, with all the structure and everything.
Right, and whether things are real or not as well. So I agree. That's a good analogy or observation, I think, as well.
Yeah, I've seen all five films, including most recently 4 and 5 for the first time. It's a very good series.
If I were
to say the weakest one of the bunch, maybe Phantasm 2. And that's probably because it was more studio-driven than all the other films. So,
oh, all right. Yeah.
Because A. Michael Bolin is not in Phantasm 2.
That's correct. That's always been one of the... I guess, tragedies, if not a tragedy, at least a, something that bothers fans, I guess.
Yeah, when I heard of that, my thoughts are, I don't understand why you need names. You're making a $5 million horror film, pretty much. You don't really need many names in it, or studio people. And I think that was one of the major problems with that film. It felt too major studio like.
And that's what I've heard as well. I haven't seen it, but I've heard exactly what you've said, and you've seen it, so you're most certainly just once again verifying what I've heard.
Yeah. It gets better with 3. 4 is good. The final one, Ravager, was actually very good. I probably would put it as pretty much my second favorite sequel behind Lord of the Dead, which is probably the best sequel out of the whole franchise. But all five movies are worth watching. But if I had to say which one was the worst one, definitely two, because you have way too many studio interference with that one.
Right. But
it felt like it didn't feel like the first film, like all the other films did. Now, besides those guests, it looks like they're going to have a special film screening and special gathering as well. I don't know what that means. We'll probably find out in the weeks to come. But that's definitely something to keep an eye out for. Now, besides all the guests, for the first time they will be doing the ScareCon Podcaster Awards, which is something interesting and different, because you don't see that in a lot of other conventions. Usually it's just film festivals or just panels. They usually don't recognize podcasts. But what I like about ScareCon is they're recognizing some of the best horror and pop culture podcasts out there. And you can pretty much submit our podcast if you want at ScareCon.com. So what do you think when you first heard about the ScareCon Podcaster Awards?
Well, you know what's funny is that I felt that they were going to go this route because the person that owns and runs the convention owns a number of radio stations and actually does his own radio show on one of those stations. And he has always felt that not just blogs and magazines and things of that nature, but podcasters are one of the most important aspects for promoting and making horror and genre cinema and books and whatnot available to the masses. And since podcasts are international, because you just load them up and anybody anywhere in the country, as long as they have freedom to access, can listen to these podcasts. And so I think the folks that run the convention and want podcasts to participate in the convention are very happy to do something like this because they understand the importance of folks like yourself or myself who religiously do these episodes free and using our time just to talk about things that we like rather than trying to do it as anything like a living.
Yeah, that's why I think that makes some of these podcasts very good. There's some very good ones like the Dorkening. I'm going to try to pronounce this, but I'm always seem to mess up this title. Super Retro Throwback Reviews Podcast. I'm not even sure if I got it right, Steven. If you're listening, I apologize. But definitely check out his podcast. You always hear his commercial on my show. And I also got a new commercial, too, which you're going to be hearing after this interview. From all the way, I believe, from the other side of the pond, too. So, this whole podcasting thing is everywhere. It'd be interesting to see what podcasts get nominated here. Will this be local, or will this be a national thing?
Well, actually, all entries to the awards can be international. They don't have to be local. Though, if you are local, you're most certainly welcome to attend the ceremonies. So technically, anybody that does a podcast that is well-received and well-known has a chance to be nominated either by someone else or they can nominate and submit their podcast themselves and possibly get recognition that, you know, every podcaster should deserve.
True, but this is how I look at it. If I'm going to be nominated, I'd rather have the people nominate me. Because, at least in my mind, I know it's legit. Than trying to literally promote myself in that way. That's why I encourage people to vote for my podcast. So.
Well, I'll say this. The one thing that's really good about these awards is that, and it may sound somewhat odd or even unfair, is that this isn't a user-based voting system. They actually have a group of folks who are going to listen to episodes of the podcasts and determine based off of what they hear and vote that way. So it's not like a podcaster can go on social media and say, oh, click on this website and make sure you vote for me. You know, and it's not like that. These are folks that have been vetted by the committee that runs the convention to actually vote and choose winners. So that may make it a little more, I guess, quote-unquote, real for folks who were wondering.
Yeah, that is a good thing. So, if you want to nominate my podcast, feel free to do so. I will have no problem or anything, so.
There you go. Yep, and people should, and I'm sure you'll probably let people know details of how to nominate and those categories somewhere in this episode.
Yes, I will be doing that probably once we get this discussion over with, obviously. So, all right. So, I really cannot wait for ScareCon New England. This definitely looks like it's going to be a great show this year. There's more guests to be announced, so keep an eye out on ScareCon's official Facebook page or at www.scarecon.com for more information. I want to thank you, Philip, for coming on to the show.
If I could interject for a second, for folks that are curious, and you already may have mentioned it, which is it's a 3-day convention, June 7th through 9th. But folks should know that there are two ScareCons. There's ScareCon New England, and then there's a ScareCon New York, upstate New York. So just make sure that when you go to ScareCon.com, you look at the correct one of the two conventions, because we were most specifically talking about the ScareCon New England.
Yes. And we're not sure where ScareCon's going to be held in New York. I'm sure they'll come out with information probably soon about that.
Right, and that's usually near the end of the year. Well, not the end of the year, but the end of the summer, I think, right?
Yeah, usually probably right after this convention, usually.
Yeah, that information will be up, and usually, I think it's either a September or October convention.
Yeah, it's October. I know they've run in October the last couple of years.
Very well.
Okay, well, thank you again for coming on to the show, Philip. Definitely check out Philip Perrone's podcast, Doc Discussions, here on the Doc Discussions Network. And what other podcasts are happening on DocDiscussions.com and DocDiscussions Network?
Well, there's actually some big news with the network because two of the podcasts that are regular podcasts on the network are reappearing this month and next month because they are podcasts that are specific to talking about genre television shows. The first one is Searching for American Gods, American Gods podcast. So basically a weekly podcast that discusses each episode of the American Gods TV show that's on the Starz network and based off of the Neil Gaiman book. And then in about 30 to 5 days from now, You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast will be reappearing as well. And that podcast obviously will be about each episode of the final season of the HBO series Game of Thrones.
So is anything else coming up Besides those podcasts, and that's it for now.
There's going to be a new Halloween Boutique Psychotronic Review podcast either the end of March or mid-April. And that podcast basically is a review of 4 to 6 boutique label genre or art house films. This new episode was originally going to focus on giallo discs from boutique labels like Arrow and whatnot, but is actually now turned into three giallo films and then a couple of miscellaneous genre films.
We can expect that maybe end of this month, early next?
That's exactly right, yep.
Okay, well, it's very good to have you back on my show, Philip. Thank you for coming on again.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Anthony, and be on the show.
Thank you very much, and have a good day. Besides Anthony T's Horror Show, you can also listen to these other fine podcasts on the Doc Discussions Network. Doc Discussions, hosted by Phil Perrone and Michael Darwin. You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, a Game of Thrones podcast. Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, a Westworld podcast. Halloween Boutique, Psychotronic Reviews. And Searching for American Gods. You can find Doc Discussions on the web at www.docdiscussions.com. And Doc Discussions is also available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics, and others, too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. I'm Anthony T. Right after my open discussion with Philip Perrone on ScareCon New England, they made a couple of guest announcements. First up, they announced Lisa Wilcox. You may know her from A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, The Dream Master, and Nightmare on Elm Street 5, The Dream Child. Also joining her will be Amanda Wise from the original A Nightmare on Elm Street. And The ID, which is a very underrated psychological horror film. Definitely check that film out if you can, because it features a really good performance from Amanda Wise. And the last guest that was recently announced was Gigi Bannister. She was one of the producers of Phantasm Ravager and Bloody Bloody Bible Camp. So this lineup so far is really looking like it's going to be the best one yet. The convention takes place at the Sherrington Hotel and Conference Center over in Framingham, Massachusetts on June 7th through the 9th. Definitely come out to ScareCon New England. I think it's probably the best convention I go to every year. So, if you're a horror fan, you should definitely head up to Framingham on the weekend of June 7th through the 9th. You'll find more information on guests and other things at ScareCon.com. Have a podcast that you want to promote? Well, if you're interested in swapping commercials, you can promote your show here on Anthony T's Horror Show, and in return, I will promote your commercial on my show as well. For more information, contact me at AnthonyT'sHorrorShow@gmail.com. Welcome back. I want to thank Philip Perrone for coming on to the show this week to talk about ScareCon New England. Now, there was one thing that we both forgot to talk about during our open discussion on ScareCon New England is the various awards that will be presented at the ScareCon Podcaster Awards. The awards that will be presented at that award show will be Best Overall Podcast, which is pretty much the best content, the best presentation, and uniqueness. Best Podcast Host or Hosts, whether it's like a single host, like myself, or a team of hosts. You have the most humorous, adding humor to the show. Best interview / guest, pretty much conducting informational interviews and securing them. And it's also ScareCon fan favorite. This is the one that will be definitely determined solely by the fans. Now, I hope you vote for my show, Anthony T's Horror Show, for these awards, as I've had some really good interviews, like Maria Olson in episode 13. I had Bill Fulkerson and Kyle Kirchta in episode 5. If I have to say what are my best episodes, I would say episode 6 is definitely a really good episode. And I also thought episode 10 was also a very good episode as well. You make the judge on which episodes you want to nominate. And what are your favorite interviews from my show? You can go to www.scarecon.com for more details. And go to the menu. Click More, then click ScareCon Podcaster Awards. It'll be the top link on that page. Then you'll be all set to vote for my show or any show you're choosing. Definitely take your time and recommend my podcast, as there will be a group of people that will be choosing the final nominees. So I definitely recommend you go there. Tell them about this show. Tell them about your favorite interviews here on Anthony T's Horror Show. And help the show get more recognition. Want to find out the latest guest announcements and news regarding Anthony T's Horror Show? You can follow Anthony T's Horror Show on these social media platforms. Facebook at www.facebook.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. On Twitter at www.twitter.com/AnthonyT's Horror, and Instagram at www.instagram.com/AnthonyT's Horror Show. Welcome back to Anthony T's Horror Show. Now, for this week's film recommendation, I recently mentioned in the show description that I would be recommending a film from Rogério Delgado. Now, you might be thinking I might be recommending Cannibal Holocaust. Well, no. Or maybe Jungle Holocaust. No. I'm literally not a fan of cannibal films. So that's why you're not going to expect any of these films recommended, even though I had maybe like one or two cannibal films in my film library. I have, of course, Eli Roth's The Green Inferno, which I still haven't seen yet. And I do have Daggario's Cut and Run in my film library. And now the only reason why that's in my film library is because it has the great late Richard Lynch and Michael Berryman in it. So I'm pretty much not a fan of cannibal films, but I can't even look at some of the trailers that deal with cannibal films because it just grosses me out. Even in trailer comps, I would literally skip through them. So I am not going to go near any cannibal films. So don't expect any cannibal films unless by some chance it's such a great film to ever be recommended here on Anthony T's Horror Show, because I just can't stand cannibal films. If I can't stand the trailers for those films, how can I stand those films where they go into the jungle and they get killed off? It's, to me, stupid. So, and I've seen about a dozen trailers of those types of films, and the trailers just turn me the hell off. But anyway, now I also mentioned in the show description, this is also my favorite Ruggiero Deodato film. So don't expect it to be The House on the Edge of the Park. Now the film that I'm talking about is Camping del Terrore, if I'm pronouncing terror in Italian right. If I don't, I apologize. I'm not good with Italian. A.K.A. Body Count. Now, one of the main reasons why I like Body Count a lot is the film is a very good, suspenseful horror film. The scares in this film work so well. Daggario does a great job directing this film, making sure that the action is intense and you're like on the edge of your seat. It really helps make the film a very fun film. And if that wasn't enough, the film also stars the late David Hess, who you might know from The Hills Have Eyes and The Last House on the Left. The late Charles Napier, who was in films such as Rambo First Blood Part 2, The Blues Brothers, and The Silence of the Lambs, and Mimsy Farmer, who's known for Lucio Fulci's The Black Cat, Dario Argento's Four Flies on Grey Velvet. And it also helps that it had a great screenplay too. As, like I said before, this is an intense film. I was glued to every second of this film. Plus it has a great score from Claudio Simone T, hopefully I pronounced it right. As, like I said, I have trouble pronouncing these Italian names. But Body Count is definitely a film you should check out if you're a fan of slasher films, as it's very gory. Or if you're a fan of Italian cinema in general, especially horror, of course. Because, after all, this is a horror show. So for this episode, I'm recommending Body Count. I hope this film gets a Blu-ray release soon, please. I really would love to own this film in my collection. Please, somebody, put this film on Blu-ray. As the only way I can see this film right now is through streaming. And, of course, I prefer physical media, so somebody, please put Body Count on Blu-ray. It's a slasher film that deserves the Blu-ray treatment, and I hope someday that film finally gets a proper Blu-ray release that this film deserves. What's happening on Anthony T's Horror Chamber and Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube? I recently reviewed a pair of Southern Gothic horror films, one for my website at thehorrorchamber.blogspot.com and one on Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube. First, on Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube, I did a video review of Purgatory Road, which stars Trista Robinson. You can definitely check my interview with actress Trista Robinson about the film on episode 14, which was last episode. And I also reviewed Darren Lynn Brosman's St. Agatha over on Anthony T's Horror Chambers website at thehorrorchamber.blogspot.com. I'll give you a little preview of both. One is really good, and one, well, will probably be back on the Horror Whammies at the end of the year, because it was just awful. I'm not telling you which film was awful or which film was great. You have to check both of them out. You can check my review of Purgatory Road on YouTube. Just search Anthony T's Horror Show on YouTube to find the channel. And please subscribe, as I'm looking to get 100 subscribers so I can have a custom URL. And you can catch my review of St. Agatha over at thehorrorchamber.blogspot.com. I want to thank you again for listening to the show. Have a good day and support indie horror.